The Hour of Glory, the Cross and Resurrection. Commentary for the December 21st, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 14. As can be seen from the date of this commentary, it is ironic that at a time when all are celebrating the birth of Jesus, the incarnation of God as the very human second Adam, we should be addressing his death on the cross. Of course, that was the denouement of his life. The Old Testament prophets foretold his suffering and death, and even at the otherwise joyful Annunciation was a warning of the sorrow to come, as we see in Luke 2, verse 35. The more we emulate his character, the more we come to understand and experience that path of sorrows ourselves. His death upon the cross gives eternal life, but as with Jesus, it has also brought pain, suffering, and death to many who died in the hope that life yet remains to them, and as they have suffered with him, they will also take up life anew, as he did. That hope reaches beyond the grave to that which we cannot see or feel, but nonetheless our heart is drawn to. In Genesis chapter 3, we read that we were created to be in fellowship with God, who walked with humanity in the Garden of Eden. As so often happens in relationships today, we looked at that relationship and decided we could do better. We walked away. We even hid. God came looking for us with tears in his voice and with broken heart. He asked why we fled. We did not take responsibility for making a stupid choice. Instead, we blamed everyone and everything, even God himself, for our perfidy. But being God, he knew that one day there will be those who will feel the sadness and loss of that broken relationship, even as he does. He told humanity that a door would open for restoration. A Savior would come to open that door for all who would enter it. Before that happened, humanity would plunge into the depths of depravity. Genesis chapter 6 through 9 tells us that happened long ago and resulted in a catastrophic population collapse. Only intervention by God saved the handful that survived. How hard it must have been for those who longed for restoration before it got so bad. They must have hoped for, prayed for, and sought the advent of the Savior to stem the tide of evil that was overwhelming everything and everyone. But it did not happen. Had he come then, hearts were so hardened that no more would have been saved than were saved. His time, the time we celebrate each Christmas, was yet far off. But in every generation, God had those who sought to rekindle the relationship once enjoyed between God and his creation. It is not a perfect story. It is tainted with murder, revenge, adultery, and a multitude of other failings. Though seeking a better world and trying to understand the golden thread of God's presence that would lead them there, they also lived in this world, a world that lives by the principle that if we seek God, we are mentally deficient because he either does not exist, or if he does, he is vengeful and cruel. Who would want to love or even serve such a tyrant? The pressures, both subtle and direct, have driven many to renounce any belief in God. But has that made their lives any better? Maybe some who have accumulated obscene wealth may claim it has. But on observation, even those seem to be striving for something they cannot attain. Even if someone managed to own every morsel of food, every item of clothing, every home, every vehicle in the world, it would not end their lust for such things. There will always be something more they must own. There can never be enough deprivation forced upon others to satisfy their need to own it all. In my lifetime, we have gone to the moon and returned safely. We talk of going to Mars and dream of interstellar travel. We dream those dreams without a reality to base them upon. The reality we know tells us that superluminal travel is physically impossible. Yet even if we could achieve light speed, travel to the nearest stars would take years amid known and unknown hazards. But we dare to hope despite the challenges. It is as though we believe all of this because we believe we are evolving into gods capable of anything we set our minds to. We reason as we did in that rejection of relationship long ago, that we do not need God. He will only hold us back from being all we might be, as it says in Genesis 3 verse 5. To those who do not understand the nature of that relationship, it seems like audacity to seek to rekindle that which has held us back from the beginning. To thwart that, humanity has returned the favor God granted in spades. God created humanity in His image, so now we have created God in our image and attributed many of the worst qualities we have developed to Him. We found it possible to murder tens of thousands of innocents in the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But we like to lay the reason for all such evil in God's lap instead of accepting responsibility for our own evil. We turn that evil about and say, if God did not prevent it, He must be evil Himself, or He does not exist. This is no longer the belief of the atheist. Even Christians model this by their behavior, acting as though the very God they proclaim will do nothing if they also plunge into the pit of depravity. The stories of that moral rot are frequently in the headlines. The Bible tells us that evil will be so pervasive that love will die out. But those who manage to keep on loving despite the evil will be saved, according to Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. Understanding God's character is key to keeping love alive. Those who worship a vengeful, tyrannical God will tend to be vengeful and tyrannical themselves. That which is within our very being, to be the image of God, will come out manifest as whatever we believe is God's character. While this has produced great evil in the world, it can also bring great light and hope when we get it right. God is love, according to 1 John 4:8. That love is so powerful, it extends even to those who hate Him, according to Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. The world wants us to believe that we will lose everything if we love God and try to live out that love in our lives. They are afraid it is true and it will invalidate what they have spent their entire lives pursuing and never attaining, peace. Peace is not possible through fear. It can only come through love. The response of fear is to hate whatever is the source of that fear, whether we think it is God or humanity. But instead of reacting to fear, acting in love can drive out fear from our lives, according to 1 John 4:18. But so many have been afraid for so long, it is hard to know where to begin. It begins with a recognition that how we live our lives and what we believe has made us afraid. And we do not want to live that way anymore. We ask God to accept us back, apologizing for choosing such a harmful path for ourselves and others. We then ask Him to create a new heart in us. The stony, painful heart of fear can be replaced by a loving heart of flesh. We only need to come to God and ask. According to Ezekiel 36, verse 26, He is more than willing to welcome us back to where we can enjoy walking together once more. We will still have to live in this difficult world, but we will not be alone. God will walk with us as a new and loving spirit, comforting and growing us to be all that He created us to be. The depths of grace that love can take us to have never been fully plumbed. It would take all eternity to even come close. Fortunately, eternity is what God offers through Jesus. And just as he promised a Savior for humanity, he also promises a return to Eden with Jesus himself seeing us home. Things will get so bad that they will rival that long ago population collapse in severity, according to Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. Innately, people understand that something is coming. That is why the sales of guns and survival products are skyrocketing. But despite all they owned, none of it was able to save those who died in the first instance. It will all prove just as useless when everything draws to a close again. We can fight like demons, literally, to hang on to everything we have, only to find our grasp holds nothing when we die. It will all go to those who would have taken it had they had the power to do so when we lived. We walk away from everything we own in the end, and the only thing that matters is what use we made of it when we had it. Once that opportunity to love others is passed, it is sadly impossible to get a second chance. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, along with hundreds of other commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find other articles as well as links to books by the author at that website. Once again, it's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.